Let's see, why don't we open up to the book of Ephesians? At least y'all aren't groaning yet. Maybe you're just being nice. That's okay. The fruit of the Spirit is nice. Oh, anyway, it's love, love. Dave went and looked at me like, nice? Got one of those new translations again. Well, I think the only phrase I hear going through me tonight, do you remember how we got started on the book of Ephesians, was a dream that I had. And I had been just agonizing over the fact that we had lost Michelle Dreyer to cancer shortly before the turn of the year last year. And, you know, that's a lot of people go home with cancer. I mean, but man, in this case, I knew she didn't want to go. Her family knew she didn't want to go. She's a strong believer. And we had a bunch of us there, people that's been around a while. People who've seen victories before. I've seen victory over cancer before. I've seen God do it through my own hands. It's just amazing to me. And so when we lost her, it really, really knocked me off my props. Or at least it tried to. And of course, the devil comes and with discouragement. And he's just trying to get you to go, well, see, just give up. It's not really true. It's just, you know, just trying to get you to just quit. Well, of course, that's always what the devil does. Well, you can either get discouraged or you can get angry. And I got angry. And I didn't know it then. I found out later through Tim's teaching that I decided not to let the sun go down upon my anger. I didn't realize that's what I did, but that's what I did. I said, I'm not... Lord, I want to know an answer. I want to know what's the problem here. How come us to lose her and others? What is it? So time went by, and then one night I had this dream. Now, in the dream, there was some really big problem, and I don't even remember what it was. That's not important. But what is important is what I heard God say. Just as clear as a bell, I heard him say, the answer is Ephesians 5:14. So let's go right there first again. I know you know it by heart by now, but still. And he said, I don't know what Ephesians 5:14 is by heart. I had to go look it up when I woke up. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now see, I know in the context here, this verse is really... it's really a quote from the Old Testament, not really that Christ shall give thee light, but awake thou that sleepest. And it's really talking to lost people. It's talking, if you read the context here, we're supposed to be reproving those things that the sinners are doing in the dark. And light exposes those things, wherefore, you know, it's written, awake, Christ shall give thee light. It's really written to people that are not born again. But he quoted it in the context of my question. And I began to hear him over the next, that day and the next few days, and he began to explain to me, he says, look, son, it's not just the prayer center. Don't be so hard on yourselves. This happens around the world with my believers everywhere. Because my whole church, to a large extent, is asleep. They're not walking in the light of the revelation of my word. They're not walking as the new creatures that I have made them, nor are they walking in the anointing I've given them by the Holy Ghost. Now, he said, the answer is in the book of Ephesians. The things you're asking me about, your answer is in this book. But you're going to have to awake, wake up, and be taught by my Spirit. Let light come into you. So that's how we got started. Well, we've been teaching now, what is it, September? I know we've already did 84 lessons, and then we've done three more since then. So, no, two more. 85, 86. This one makes 87. 87 lessons. And the phrase I kept hearing all day is we're only now beginning to get glimpses of light. Glimpses. And I notice it in my own life. Suddenly, You know, I mean, we're all praying, we're all listening to, I listen to these same messages again. You know, I listen to them myself, trying to glean a little more, roll it over on in me again. Pray again, read Ephesians again. At this point, I almost feel like that other brother one time, he was trying to assimilate 1 John, you know, which is the book of love. John, the apostle of love. He come to Dave one day, says, if I read 1 John one more time, if I read about love one more time, I'm going to kill somebody. Well, Ephesians, you know, well, read it again. Listen to it again. Got it on my iPod. Listen to it in the car, you know. Listen to it again. But every now and then, I'm starting to get little glimpses of light. And I mean, at the most unexpected times, though. Now, y'all know that over these years, have I not taught a lot on confession? I teach a lot on that. Confession saved my life. You came way too late to tell me confessing God's word doesn't work. I'd have took a dirt nap in 1990. Y'all know what a dirt nap is? I'd have took a dirt nap in 1990 had it not been for confessing God's word. I would have been out of the ministry in 1995. He would have successfully destroyed us within the first year had I not finally obeyed him and begin confessing God's word like he instructed me to. I'm big on confession. And normally when I'm trying to possess something and I'm trying to renew my mind, one of the first things I do is go through the passage. In this case, it would be the whole book. And I take the verses and I just make them into a present tense now confession. And every time I start to do it this time, I have been arrested. I've been stopped. And I haven't known why. Now, some other people have done it for me, and I have used theirs. Two others have sent me their confessions, and I appreciate it. They're perfect. I couldn't do any better myself, you know. They're exactly right. So I said, Lord, I didn't do these. I want to look at these. But then I sit down there, and I try and do it myself, and again, I just feel that little check. I mean, he'd let me, but it wasn't his timing. Now, glimpses of light, see. Let's back up. Ephesians 1. When he does let me, I hate to use the word paraphrase. I don't really intend to paraphrase. I'm going to try and write this from the perspective of the new creature that I really am. You've got to understand when Paul wrote this letter to born-again believers, but the knowledge that's in the letter was pretty new to them. Okay? Now, we've had 8 or 9 months here of assimilating this book. Been over it and over it and over it. And by now, when I read certain passages, glimpses of light are beginning to come through. Now, just like this first verse. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to those who are born of God's Spirit into a new species on planet Earth, those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And even that phrase, in Christ Jesus, I don't know the verse by heart, but there's one that says, as in Adam, all die in Christ. All are made righteous. Or many are made righteous. I can't quote it exactly. In Adam, the human male, the physical male, was the whole species of Adam. Especially if you consider before Eve was made. All the DNA of every human that would ever be produced physically on planet Earth, all of them were in Adam. The Bible doesn't just use it there. It says the Levites, who would come along later after the law, they were actually in the loins of Abraham. Is that not right? Isn't that what it says? So the whole human race, the one that died positionally in Christ, when Christ died on the cross, the whole human race was in Adam. Now, glimpses of light. When you start, every time I see in this phrase now, in Christ, I see Jesus standing there. And every believer who ever will be is in him already. The DNA, if you'll allow me, the spiritual DNA of every believer is in the last Adam, just like the physical DNA of every believer, and I guess really, well, anyway, was in the first Adam. I don't want to go too far. See, really, people don't go to hell because of their sins. Jesus really paid the price for their sins. They go to hell because they're in Adam. We're in Christ. That's why. So now when I read this next verse, the third one, grace be to you, new species, and peace from God our Father. Now see, God is the creator of all humans. But you can read in Galatians that you are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. God's creator of all people, but he's the father of believers. He's the father of those who have been born of his spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. So grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, his children, with all, now this is spiritual blessing, in heavenly places. Now here it is again. In Christ. Why have you been blessed with every spiritual blessing? Because of your works? No, because you're in Christ. You're of that species. You're of that spiritual DNA. It messes with your head. According as he hath chosen us, now notice, in him again, here we go again, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Now here's one where a lot of people run off and say, well, see, there he decided and he made the choices. Well, did he make the choice for Adam? Who made that choice? Adam made that choice. See, and that's why it was so heinous, because he didn't have a sin nature. He didn't have a sin nature. We were, Romans 6 will tell you, you were born a slave to sin. Adam wasn't. Adam was not born a slave to sin. Free choice. And he chose wrong. That's why the last Adam had to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And he had to make the right choices. So quiet in here. These are the things my brain chews on. What does it mean then, having predestinated us? See, just because God knows everything doesn't mean he did everything. He knows. He knew what's going to happen. And here's why he knows that. Because he lives outside time. You know, that's why prophecy is always correct when it's God. He's not guessing. He lives outside time. To him, it's like a big circle, like a railroad track in a circle. Einstein's equations figured that out. Time goes in a circle. Even Einstein got that close. So he's not guessing, you know, I hope this comes to pass. He just goes and looks. He's 1,000 years from now as much as he's now. We can't do that, but he does. So it's not like he doesn't know, but that doesn't mean he predetermined it. But he did predetermine what he was going to do about the fall. See, that's what this means. He made a decision way back before the foundation of the world. He made a decision. He predestined. I like the word predetermined better. He made a decision right then. He's not going to back up from it either. He decided right then that he was going to adopt us as his own children by Jesus Christ to himself. according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I'm skipping over lots of things because I have to at this point. I'm still chewing on a lot of things. But I want to share something with you out of this next verse. Any of y'all ever get beat up by the devil? You come here and you listen to one of these messages, you are a new species. From this book, you are the children of light. All we got to do is go to chapter 3. You are a child of light. You're a new creature. You do not have a sin nature anymore. On and on and on. You leave here walking 9 miles tall until that guy cuts you off on the freeway. And a sailor would blush at the words that come out of your mouth. Or, I'm not even going to mention other stuff. Other things where the enemy comes. Sure. New creature, are you? And he starts magnifying every... Let's don't just say faults. Let's say sin. Yeah. Let's say that. Boy, doesn't he come with a vengeance? Trying to make you doubt? But notice this verse here says, verse 7, in whom... Who would that be? In Christ. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that wonderful? Say, well, yeah, that's how I got saved. Somebody preached Christ and him crucified. I sure knew I was guilty. But he's the spotless lamb and he went to the cross and he died for me. And so then they gave me the choice. You can go to hell and pay for your own sins, or you can accept the price that he did, that he paid for you, and accept his sacrifice as sufficient, and you can be born again. See? Forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Yeah, but that was, in my case, almost 30 years ago. And the devil says, what about that sin you did today? Now, here we go. Glimpses of light. Hold your thinking right there. And go to chapter 2. I'm not the only one, right? Sometimes the devil will go, yeah, but what about if you're such a new creature? Let's talk about today. What about the sins you did today? What about the failings you did today? What about that ugly stuff you did today? Yeah, what about that? Yeah, what about that? Well, then right here, though, it says, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Jim Martin called me. This was several years ago. He was studying this passage, and he was so excited. If y'all don't know, Jim Martin is he's an excellent student of the Word, and he has a Bible college, not only a church up in Dayton, Ohio, but he has a Bible college, and it's also around the world, and it's free, and that takes some faith. And he called me one day because he was studying this, and he goes, Gary, every one of those where it says, he hath quickened us together with him. Do you know what the Greek says? Really, what it's saying there, from God's point of view, not even in God's mind, not like it's just the way he thinks. Let's say it this way. In God's reality, the same instant Jesus stepped out of the tomb, that same instant, we stepped out of the tomb. Quickened together with him. The Greek actually means at that moment. And here's where my mind goes. So the devil's accusing me for my faults today in 2009. Yet, now here's a God that lives outside time. Yet my Bible says that I was already quickened from that dead species 2,000 years before I was born. My sins were paid for 2,000 years almost before I was even born. Has our God provided abundantly for us or not? You mean it's not just the sins that I committed up until the cross? The sins I committed up until I believed? Honey, He provided redemption for you before you was a gleam in your daddy's eye. You talk about a God who answers before we call. We could go another place that says, in His, you know, from God's point of view, Christ, He was crucified before the foundation of the world. We could take it back even farther now. But see, we tend to think linear because we're finite as far as our mortal bodies. Now, the part of us that He's trying to train, our spirit man, the part that's born of Him is eternal. You already know that. Now, you think the Holy Ghost has got a job on His hands? Trying to train eternal creatures that have, to this point, been brainwashed or taught by finite creatures. And He's trying to get us to think like Him. So He said, he would say to Philip, was it Philip? The way we would say, okay, now you finished preaching to the Ethiopian and you baptized him and he got saved. Wasn't that Philip? He says, now I want you to go to this other place about 25 miles away. And what would we do? We'd be hailing the nearest camel taxi. We'd be, you know, getting to call our travel agency. We need a ride. But see, God's way, there's no time with Him. Guess what else? There's no distance with Him either. So He says, grab hold of your hat. And you're there. Do you know that's in your Bible, right? Now what if we start getting instructions from headquarters? One of my favorite lessons is to go back through Proverbs and teach on the hearing ear, the listening ear. Wisdom says, blessed are those that listen daily at the posts of my doors. Well, our wisdom is Jesus. And so the picture I get is like a big plantation in the South. I mean, it'd be a big operation and He's the headmaster and we're the slaves. Okay. Let's put it this way. We're the servants. We've all by choice become His bond slaves. So we come to the porch every morning. We come to where He comes out and gives instructions so we'll know what to do. And so He comes out, and the way we expect it is because we're carnal. And what I mean by that is we think with mortality in mind. We think like the creatures we were trained to be. And He says, well, I want you to preach in Moscow today. And we live in Tulsa. I said, Lord, I don't think there's any airlines that can get me there today. Maybe tomorrow? He says, no, you're thinking wrong. I'll have you there in about 2 seconds. What? I believe that's in the book of Acts for a reason. I don't believe God has changed. We're starting to get little glimpses of light. And I'm excited about these glimpses. I'm thinking, my goodness. One of the things that hits me is again, I was kind of going through these, and I haven't started writing them yet. Just in my mind, I'm reading these verses. And how would I say that from the perspective of a new creature that's been trained by the Holy Ghost? How would I say that same thing? Because Paul was writing to them. This was new information to them, or pretty new. But he's trying to get us to the place where we're totally renewed to this. See? So when I get to... Now, how do I say this and be nice? Anyone ever feel weak? Maybe something that... I'll use Old Faithful here. Obviously, I like my food. Okay? Obviously. Now, I'm working on it again. We'll talk about that later. Much later. Well, okay. So, you know, The natural Gary that's 62 years old, the one that has been dealing with this body for my whole life, and I look at myself in the mirror and even I get discouraged. And so the evidence that I see would say, well, you weak-willed, slovenly creature, you know. you undisciplined thing. See? And so if I continue to think like that and I receive that as evidence, then the next time I drive by Krispy Kreme and the hot lights on, I'll pull in there. Which, by the way, I do that about once every 6 months. That's not the problem, trust me, is other things. I know those are bad. Anyway. But see, that's the normal thing. And I'm using that because it's easy. I'm not looking around the room. There's people here dealing with in the sound of my voice, trust me, in this room and around the world, we've got everything from adultery to fornication to pornography to dope to everything in the world. So we're not pointing. I'm just using that so I can point the finger at me, okay? I'm just using me. Now, what do I do? See, if I go by the evidence that I see, then I'm going to, if I keep meditating on that and my history and my past, I'm not likely to change. Because that's how I already am, and really that's the old man. But there's little glimpses of light now when I'd start to fall into old patterns. And suddenly, an awareness of the new man that's in me, I'm starting to get glimpses of him coming forward. And he'll go, no, you're not like that anymore. That's who you used to be. Don't you even say you're weak. What does the Bible say? Let the weak say, I am strong, see. That's not who you are. That's who you were. So I'm starting to get these little glimpses every now and then, not only of that. How many of you, and I know that those of you that come to Calling in the Lost and have been coming for a long time, and we'll say things there like, every wheelchair is empty. First time. Every time. No exceptions. See, and I know you're like me. If you continually keep putting that in your brain, putting that in your brain, putting that in your brain, you can't be at Walmart and see a wheelchair. And something in you, your right hand almost just comes out automatically. You're ready to, you know, for the, in the name, you know. But see, we're in the process of renewal. Doesn't mean we're walking there totally yet. Hey, Gary, have you ever tried that? Yeah, that's the problem. I tried it. It don't come by trying. It don't happen by trying. It happens by doing. So here we are again. I guess everything I'm telling you, really I'm discussing being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we keep doing this and practicing this and going over these things. And I'm starting to get little glimpses of light in my mind. And it's encouraging to me. And at the same time, the enemy is sending all hell against my time, against any weakness in the flesh he can find. And trust me, I'm fighting my battles like you're fighting yours. So what are we going to do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What is the thing that caused Abraham to be accounted righteous? What is it? Abraham believed God in the face of every contradictory circumstance. I mean, here's a guy 100 years old, wife's 100 years old. I like to say one old prune snuggled up against another old prune. With her, it's already past the time of the way of women. Apparently, he wasn't such a hot rod anymore because she said, she laughed. She goes, I'm not going to have pleasure from that old guy again. And that's what she said. Now they got every circle, and plus they had a lifetime married history of childlessness. Even when they were young and beautiful, she was barren. Okay? So every circumstance, just like we could see the devil, like he's coming against your mind. If this is possible, how come nobody else is doing it? How come nobody else is emptying no hospitals? How come it hasn't been done like you're saying in 2,000 years almost since the book of Acts? So what he's trying to do all the time is get us looking at the evidence. Well, Abraham refused to consider his own body. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he believed that what God had promised, he was well able to perform it. Now that's what we're doing right now in the book of Ephesians. No matter what I see when I look in the mirror, no matter how many heads I've rubbed raw praying for them and they died anyway, no matter the evidence that I see in the natural of every kind, destruction in my own family, destruction in my house, destruction in my church, I'm determined, I am going to believe God. Amen. Now what he said, that's the truth, and I don't care if you stack 9,000 pounds of evidence in front of me saying it's not so. If he said it so, it is so. I am a new creature, so are you. I am born of God's Spirit, so are you. I refuse to walk in that old man anymore, and I refuse to try and make him do better. He can't do better. He's dead. That's why God killed him. Had to kill him. And did you ever think about it? Adam never did get his dominion back. Just exactly what God told Adam came to pass. The day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Well, physically, death moved in right away and they started dying. But in Christ, the whole species died. He never did get that dominion back. Never did get it. Had to be a new man. What the Bible calls the second man. The last Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ. Had to be a whole new species. And what he's trying to enlighten our understanding with is, we are that species. And it doesn't matter if I look in the mirror and see Grandpa now. Doesn't matter that if I play with my grandkids too long and my back feels like it's broken now. You know, I've been a horsey all day. Ride the horsey, Papa. Ride the horsey. Oh, not the horsey. Anything but the horsey. Wee, wee. Of course, I got to keep going then, you know. Wee. It's fun at the moment. Oh, God. New creature full of might, power, and dominion, am I? Barely can... Anyway. But what are we going to do? What are we... Just... Go over to chapter 2 for a minute. Here we are again, see. Here he's telling you right here. I don't know where to start. It's so good. But start in verse 13, talking to Gentiles. He says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off," and that sometimes means before time. "Before you were far off, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Who hath made both one." He's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. There was a division between them called the law. Okay? "But he has broken down that middle wall of partition between us." That's the law. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of the two," here it is, "one new man. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Look at verse 18. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit," that's that new nature, "unto the Father." That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Well, those men coming to the Father are those who have been born of the Father's Spirit. And the only way you can have that is to be born of the spiritual loins, if you'll allow me, of the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have his nature, and by that nature you have access to God the Father. Hallelujah. Well, you read that and you go, yeah. We should come to the point where we're no more blown around by winds of doctrine. I appreciate the Old Testament. I get lots of types and shadows out of the Old Testament. I love the Jewish people. I know God loves the Jewish people. I kind of learned some things from the feasts and all of that. But see, if you're not careful, you start going back to our roots. And they'll use the phrase sometimes, our Jewish roots. And without intending to do it, they're taking you back to the roots, all right. They're taking you back to a species that you've already been born out of. Because in Christ Jesus, there is neither. You don't have any Jewish roots. And guess what? Neither do the Jews. Is this okay? Am I telling the truth? In Christ, he says, out of these two people groups, he has made one new man. I'm not interested in the roots. Now, I appreciate them. I do. Paul loved his brethren. He says, the Holy Ghost would be my witness to tell you I love my brethren, the Jews, so much I'd be willing to be damned for all eternity if they could be saved. Now, that's a statement. I don't love anybody enough to be. I'll just tell you right now, don't love Mark, don't love Debbie, don't love nobody, don't love Dave. Not enough to go to hell forever. Telling you right now. I know I got a ways to go. I'm not near where Paul was. Why? Crying out loud. And he said the Holy Ghost would stand there and say, that's true. I've looked in his heart. He would. My goodness. But he's just trying to get us right now. Just to realize you're not a second class citizen. Remember that time that Dave went on that TV program and says, "Well, the Jewish fellow was saying, I'm glad I'm not an adopted child." In other words, the Jew is the real child, I guess. You know. Well, thank God for the Jews. Paul says, "Thank God for them. By them came the covenants. By them came the word of God. Thank God." You know, and the gospel was preached to who first? First to the Jew. God offered it to them first, then to the Gentile. But honey, we got to get it through our head. You're not a Jew. You're not a Gentile, either one. Well, if you're a Jew at all, it's because you've had a circumcision of the heart. Paul says those are the real Jews, not all those that are descendants of Abraham are Jews in God's eyes. The real Jew is the one that's had the circumcision of heart. Now, that's the new birth. That's the circumcision on the eighth day after you pass through the Sabbath. Thanks to Pastor Dave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know how long I'm going to give you credit for that. Well, I guess I always will as long as I'm in your pulpit, I guess. See, I got a ways to go. Can you tell I got a ways to go? Back up to chapter 1. I don't know what else to do but give you some glimpses of light. See, one day we're going to get past glimpses. Yes, sir. I just heard something when I said that. He says he is intent on persuading us to the same level that we're his child, that we used to be persuaded. We were man's child. That's exactly where he's taking us. Now we're getting little glimpses. Yes, sir, I'll do it again. This vision has come on and off over the years. And again, I tell you, the Holy Ghost is a really good teacher. He is the best because not only does he thoroughly know the Word of God and knows everything. He is God. But he also knows everything about you. He knows every circumstance. He knows every TV program you've ever watched. He knows everything you've ever done. And he'll draw from those things. Well, every time when he's trying to get me here, I've had this several times over the years, it always goes back to those black and white Tarzan movies. Y'all remember those old, Johnny Weissmuller, Here he goes through the thing. Where Jane? Where Jane? Me want Jane. Well, the guy's raised by apes, you know. He was lost as a little child in the jungle. And he's raised by apes. So he, all of his etiquette, you know, you eat with your hands. How do you travel? On vines through trees? And how do you dress? Loincloth? You know, but that's natural and normal to him because he was raised among the apes, and so he's just one of them, see? But in truth, he wasn't that at all. He was, if I remember the story, he was an English nobleman. He was the descendant, the heir of an English nobleman. And the whole story goes, eventually they found him. And they brought him back to England, you know. And he is heir. It's so much like the gospel. He is heir in truth, like we're heir in truth, to this fabulous inheritance. And they bring him to the house, and it's a huge mansion, and they drive him up in a Rolls Royce, and they sit him down at the dining table, and the dining table's about 25 feet long. And, you know, here's all the fancy china and the goblets and how they do all those forks. I'm from Pottawatomie County. You get one fork. That's it. One fork. That's it. Same fork for everything, you know. Well, Tarzan's used to no fork. He's worse than Pottawatomie County. He's no fork. So if you can picture him, they've got him dressed up in these clothes that to him are so, it's kind of like Dave in a suit. It's just so awkward. It's just so unnatural. It's like, and you can tell he's miserable. It's like Dave, you know, it's like, he's miserable. Dave's sitting on the front row for benefit. And here's the china, and the white placemats, and the forks, and the spoons, and the goblet, and they put the food down in front of him. And what does he do? Takes his hand, gets a big glob of mashed potatoes in his hands, you know, brings it up to his mouth, begins to eat. About that time, they begin to pray for him. And they pray something like this. Oh God, we pray that you would give unto our son the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who he really is. The eyes of his understanding need to be enlightened. He needs to know who he really is, the calling, the advantages that are available to him, and what is the riches of his inheritance that's really been left to him. I could go on. Do you get the point? He's exactly trying to do that with us. We were raised by... No, I'm not going to say that. We were raised to think we were apes. You know, they're still teaching our kids that in school. That's, you know, they're still teaching our kids that. They sure are. It's not that far-fetched. Yeah. Raised, you know, you're just a little evolved ape, you. That's, you know, they're still teaching them that. But we were raised. One time I wrote a lesson called Trained by a Death Nature. See, I didn't get saved till I was 33 years old. I had time to do lots of sinning and to be really shaped and molded by the world system where everything is based on money and everything's based on power and everything's based on greed. So when I got saved, I didn't start at zero. I didn't get to, you know, I'm way several stories underground. My mind for 33 years had been trained by a fallen world and by a sin nature. Now it's full of stuff. It believes lots of things. And religion. Let's just say that too. It's also got a whole bunch of training. You know, just absolute pure truth like tongues has passed away. Healing has passed away. There are no more apostles and prophets for today. I've been trained with all that stuff too. So now they've blocked you from access to the Holy Spirit through the avenue of praying in other tongues where you can even find out the truth until you stumble into this little slightly leaning building in the middle of a grass field next to the cows. Those cows have no idea the danger they're in when people here are fasting. They're just all contented out there going, everything's fine. And they don't know there's eyes staring out through the windows at them. Anyway. The eyes of our understanding need to be enlightened. And he's in the process of that. Now, all of these lessons are available at the website. I keep going over them myself. And I don't know how much, I just know there's more. And the reason I know there's more is we're not walking in the fullness of our inheritance yet. So all I need to know is keep praying and keep assimilating the word and listening to the things he's already brought forward, and especially listening to the prophecies that come through, especially Pastor Dave. Well, there's others now. There's others now. Because that prayer is not in there just to fill up space in our Bible. It is the heart of God, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we be no longer walking, sleepwalking, if you'll allow me, and walking like dead people. Walking like the old Adam that we used to be, the old Adamic creature that we used to be. Did you hear what he said a while ago? He is going to renew our mind to the point, I mean, so fully understanding we're his child, and understanding how to walk in his kingdom as fully as we used to understand how to walk in the world's fallen kingdom. That's a transformation. That you talk about in our day again, they'll say those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Have come hither also, see. And just exactly what Jesus said will be done again. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go into the Father. So people, it's no time to get discouraged. And if the devil is pounding your life in whatever way, stealing your time, surprise him and pray anyway. Give him a heart attack and a headache and a pain in his back all at the same time. Say, oh my God, after everything we did, they still carved out an hour of prayer. They still carved out some fasting. The cows are still in danger. Because he's going to teach us how to operate in his kingdom. And it's very much like Tarzan. It really is. See, we are born again. We belong to a family. Yes, sir. I'll say it that way. We belong to a family the likes of whom have not really been seen on planet Earth since about the first century. In the sense of the works that they do. Now, there's lots of born-again people. I don't mean that. But I'm talking about those that walk in the fullness of that prayer, where the eyes of their understanding have been enlightened. How about the other one we looked at near the end of chapter 3? That we come to the place where we know the love of God. I didn't quite finish that the other day, by the way. So we'll just start in verse 16 of chapter 3. I'll probably close with this. Paul is praying that the Father would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's your new man. And that the Anointed One, Christ, the Anointed One, that's not his last name, that the Anointed One may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And I'm going to say it different so it'll affect you. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowing. You see what he's saying? See, I can tell you I love my granddaughter Lily. You ought to hear her say, good girl. Oh, man, nobody can say it like she says it. If you tell her to say good job, she says, good job. And I can tell you things like that and give you some knowledge, but I have a love for that child that passes knowledge. I can't communicate it to you. No matter how hard I try, I don't think you can feel what I feel. That's the kind of knowledge that he's talking about. A knowing, to know this love which passes knowing. It's, you won't be able to just, you can't put it into words. It's a knowing that passes knowing. But what happens then? When you know the love of Christ, that it's such a knowing that it passes knowledge. If this wasn't in my Bible, I don't think I'd believe it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now what if that's us? More specifically, what if that's you a few months down the road here? And you're filled, literally. I mean, does it say it in your Bible? Look at it. Does it say that? That it's possible to be filled with all the fullness of God? I know it means collectively. But that means each part can be filled also. I don't think it can be filled unless each part is filled. So that means when you walk into the room, so here we are back to square one, back to the next Michelle, if you'll allow me, back to the next one. And when you walk in the room, if you're filled with all the fullness of God, when you walk in the room, God walks in the room. Now what happens then? Well, that's the part I didn't read last time. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now we can ask a lot. We're already asking to empty the hospitals. That's more than I've ever seen. That's more than the world has seen in our generation. But if I can think it, he can do more. If I can ask it, he can do more. My goodness, where is this going to go? Well, it's going to go to worldwide revival. That's where it's going to go. There is coming a great and a mighty harvest. Don't let the news channels convince you that God is through with this country. There is a revival coming. There is a revival coming, and I want to be a part of it. You do too. Amen? So let's just not be moved by what we're currently seeing. Pray in spite of the devil's attacks. And get our mouths at least speaking the best we can. In agreement. Let's do like Abraham. And just believe God. Just believe God. Next time you're about to say, well, I'm so weak and I'm so tempted and I'm about to fail. Say, no. I'm a new creature. I am born again. I am strong because he strengthened me with might by his Spirit. Whatever it is that comes to you. But speak in line with his word. And if you fail that time, go to 1 John 1:9, get cleansed again, and start all over. Now that really gives the devil a headache. See, that's what, we have something the first Adam did not have. We have Christ himself as our attorney in heaven. And we have his blood still on the mercy seat. We have access to that blood all the time. Adam did not have access to that. We have something he never had. And you can start fresh every single time. Amen? Father, we're all doing what we know to do. Father, I'm so thankful. And I know if I'm getting these glimpses of light, I know others are also, Father. Father, help us not be weary in well-doing. Father, help us see the end. Help us see the prize. Help us see what you really intend for us to walk in. And for the joy set before us, let us endure these things, that the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, be made manifest upon the earth once again through our mortal flesh, and that all people may see again that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is Lord of all, and that His name is above every name. Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.